rebellious. Didn't know the road that I was getting ready to go on. Didn't understand. You know, had a girlfriend that allowed me to go and live in her house. And both her parents was alcoholics. But I have to say that those parents made me go to school. And I wasn't a good 2 miles from home. And nobody came to look for me. And I went to school. So they knew where to find me. And that was a pattern that me and my mother had. Because, see, when I was born, my mother gave me to her sister. And they did this tug-of-war thing with me. I looked too much like my father. She said I act like my father. And I was going to turn up a junkie like my father. And guess what? She was right. She hit it right on the nail. Except for the one thing that happened for me is that I found the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And that's where I found my home. I learned how to do service work here in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, in treatment, H and I brought us meetings. And I seen these two women that I was real impressed with. And I need to say I ain't never been impressed with women. Ever. Because to me, it was like my mother and them used to do. My mother would say something, and I'd be cleaning up all the time. It seemed like she always made me do all the work. You know what I'm saying? And I had a big, lazy, fat sister that didn't do nothing. I'm talking about nothing. And she'd walk around the house with all her long, pretty hair and tell me how pretty her hair was. And you ain't got nothing but nappy hair. See, they really don't like you. So I'm talking about being infested. I'm talking about the disease of addiction before any drugs ever came into play. I'm talking about being ate up from the core out. You know that at 12 years old, I didn't have no alternative but to leave her house. Because she was telling me how she was sending me to see the Knoll. I said, you gonna do what? And that's how we got into the fight. Because she wanted to beat me with a extension cord and I just wasn't going to have it no more. So in the midst of that, when my girlfriend and them let me come live with them, I'm talking about being grateful. I'm talking about leaving my mother's home, which was nice, going up into Lincoln Heights, which is a project, in a house where there was nothing but mice running around, but being grateful that they let me come. Because at least they showed me the love that I was looking for. I'm talking about having nobody to love you and thinking that nobody ever will. And I'm talking about going through that pattern all my life. So let me bring you up to it. See, I started doing stuff early. I started having kids early. I started marrying people because I didn't want nobody to call me no hoe. Not that I hadn't been one. I just didn't like it. So by the time I made it back to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I had been on marriage number 3. 36 years old. But tired of running from me. I'm talking about being tired of running from me. And somebody being telling me that they were going to help me and teach me how to recover. And I'm talking about being grateful because they slapped the steps in my hand. They put me in service work, and I started doing what somebody finally was telling me that I believed had my best interests at heart. I ain't talking about them telling me, don't mess with this and don't do that and don't do. I'm talking about saying, write that step, little girl. And that's all they kept giving me. And I'd bring them all these crazy issues, and they say, have you used yet? And I said, no. They said, well, keep doing what you're doing because when you get sick and tired of you, then you'll change. I'm talking about how service work and doing the steps completely kept banging heads together. But I'm telling you, I've been in service work since day one because this is my home. This is the place that gave me freedom from me. I'm talking about being free from me. I'm talking about the little girl that got tired of people walking up on and telling her what they were going to take from me. I'm talking about the little girl that put a pistol in her hand at 14 to say, how dare anybody ever try to take from me again. I'm talking about when you've been sexually molested, not by one man, but by a group of men at one time, and you said enough is enough. And they create a monster. I'm talking about a monster. I know who I was. And then all of a sudden, you start finding out in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous that they don't care what you've done, where you come from, how much dope you done used, how much dope you done sold. They don't care if you killed anybody. They don't care nothing about that. What's your problem and how we can help you? That's what I love about Narcotics Anonymous. Because didn't nobody care about my reputation or what I thought I was. And treatment, they told me anyway. They put me in a circle and told me what I wasn't. And I was grateful. Because then I could learn how to be a lady, y'all. I came in here not knowing how to be a lady. I didn't know any of that those things. I'm talking about nothing. That's why I was married 3 times. Because trust me, if they hit me, I was going to hurt them. I was going to plot. I was going to scheme. And I was going to get them. And I did 9 times out of 10. Because I also come from abuse. You know, I've been in relationships with broken bones and dislocated shoulders and laying up in the hospital for not just one day at a time. How about 14, 15, 21 days at a time from somebody beating you? Then you get tired and you learn how to really fight. You fight back. And then you learn that you're good at fighting back. So when I came up in here, I was cocky. People didn't know how to approach me. But thank God somebody did. And what ended up happening, y'all, I have enjoyed this ride in recovery. I have enjoyed knowing that Narcotics Anonymous was my first home. This is my first love. It has taught me how to be a productive member of society. How that just because I'm hurting, I don't have to hurt other people. See, it has been a process of learning how to respect people. If I wanted respect, I had to give respect. Because I never know where another person has come from and what it took for them to get here. So when I meet you with love, because if they weren't giving me love when I walked in here in 1994, I wouldn't be here today, 17 years later. A lot has happened in 17 going on 18 years. But what I keep up front is when I came in here, wasn't nobody in the bathroom with me locked up, getting high and not being able to come out the bathroom. Smoking until my heart was thumping. Not knowing if I was going to make it out the bathroom. That when I came into the rooms, I was scared to go to the bathroom by myself. That's what keeps me here. Somebody say, remember, not your last run. They say, remember how you felt the day that you, the time when you felt that you was totally defeated. That's what's kept me in here. I don't ever want to feel that again. I was defeated, y'all. But when I came here, and this became my home. I'm talking about this became my home. And anybody that knows me knows that the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous is my home. And if I don't make meetings, if I don't come in and do the service work, and if I don't respect the home that I'm in, how can I respect the home at home? Can't. I can't do it. Because I just got married. Let me say that. February the 9th, I just got married. But if you think it's easy,
yes. All right.
Make no mistake, it ain't easy for a girl like me. Because I told y'all I came in here on husband number 3, but I'm on husband number 5. It is not easy being married. It is not been ever been easy to live with another human being, ever. But because of some traditions, because of some steps, because I gotta allow my husband to live, because he's a recovering addict. And y'all need to know sometime I want to take those steps because my husband ain't been around here longer than me. And I want to manipulate him. And I want to twist him. And I would like to shape and mold him my way. But because we both have strong personalities. And because I respect him for being the man in my house. I'm talking about doing some different stuff this time. I've been picking men that I knew was weaker than me. Because see, ladies, we know how to pick them, for real. I went from having strong men that I knew I couldn't control to getting weak men that I married that I could control, that I didn't want, to marrying a man that I know I can't control, and I ain't afraid not to control him. Because I want him to be the man. I don't mind taking the back seat or maybe the side seat. Because see, I know I can stand alone, but can I stand with somebody? That's the hit. That's the real hit. Because I've walked away from people for hollering at me.
Yeah.
Asking. For hollering at me. Because see, I made a perfect little bubble in recovery. I said I wasn't going to be angry no more because I can't control my temper. I was not going to let anybody disturb my peace once I found it. And then comes another man. And my peace ain't as I want it. You know what I mean? But then I had to examine it. Because through the steps, I learned to examine myself. Was I always so peaceful without him? I don't think so. Because it was those lonely days and them lonely nights that I had to spend when I didn't have a man. When I didn't want to sleep with somebody because I chose to take a call that I believe God was calling me to, that it didn't always feel so good sleeping with somebody. I'm talking about service work. I'm talking about having to change everything about you only because of the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. I would love to be a slut. But guess what? The price is too great. I'm in a monogamous relationship. And even before I got in that relationship, trust me, I have practiced for years of being alone because I wasn't going to be one. So much about me had to change. And I want to talk about that relationship with my mother. It has been probably the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my life. I'm talking about hard. Because I had to address her. You know, because we have to make amends around here. And we have to talk to people when you don't want to talk to them. And I'm telling y'all, at 2 years clean, I moved to North Carolina to distance myself away from my family. And I found myself making a family in North Carolina. I'm talking about I've always chose my family. But then I found myself doing the same thing in recovery that I was doing in the streets. Making me a family. Giving more to people and not giving to my blood. So what I did, I came home in 2009 to give to my family. Because how dare me help everybody in Narcotics Anonymous and not help my own family? How dare me, a son that was facing two counts of first-degree murder, how dare me walk away from everything? How dare me? And this share so good. That's what shut me up around here. I was sharing that good stuff. And I had walked away from my family. So I came back home. I stood up because recovery taught me to mount up and stand up flat-footed and address who I really am. So if I can do it in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, by God, I can do it with my own family. I came home. My son got off the charges. Came home because I'm a mother that stretch out and lay on the floor. I'm a person that called God on his word. So I came home. My mother said she was tired. My brother was in jail. My son was in jail. My nephew was in jail. My sister was diagnosed with Graves' disease, and she's all messed up. My baby sister had just got shot, and my mother said she was tired. And I could hear a voice cracking, the strong woman that I knew. And I said, I'm going home. I came home. I want to tell y'all my son didn't go to jail again. My son's in jail now. I stuck up with him. I came there. I sat through every bit of the trial. They gave him 11 to 30. I didn't bat an eye. I didn't cry a tear. I didn't do nothing. Because it also told me that I'm powerless. Step one. Ain't tripping. Make your bed, you lie in. I just stand up there and I be a mother. I make sure he got what he need. Because that's my son. And I'm the one that showed him the lifestyle. But am I responsible for his lifestyle? No. My brother came home. My nephew came home. My sister ain't dead. My mother's doing all right. You know what I'm saying? I ain't taking on all that mess either. I called my mother. I said, baby, how you doing? I'm a daughter today. I buy her flowers because she loves them and nobody was buying them for her. I prefer to give her the flowers while she's living than when she did. I hear my mother tell me now, I never thought you'd be my best child. I never understood that the older I got, I was going to be more like my mother than my father. I never knew that I would become the strong woman that I am. I look at my mother and I say, thank God for my mother. Yeah. I sit down and I asked her, why did she give me away? And she explained, she was feeding two children oatmeal and she had a husband that was shooting dope and she knew nothing about addiction. And she did the only thing she knew how. She gave me to her sister. And when her sister turned to drugs, she took me back. So I could no longer be mad. All those years of killing me, when one simple question, I could have asked her, why did you do it? And I felt stupid. I have destroyed myself for 36 years over a question that took about 10 minutes. To get out my mother and cry with my mother to allow the healing process to begin. I'm grateful to Narcotics Anonymous. That's why I do service work around here. I don't even argue. When they at area service and they going off those, and they do. I pray for them. Because, see, I know they ain't doing no more than what I've done. That's their process. Because I had the nerve to go into a meeting in North Carolina and split the meeting down the middle. My sponsee's on one side, the other girl's sponsee's on the other. I said, who's going to leave first? I'm not. She left. Took all her sponsees. I'm talking about, and went and started another meeting. And then I started thinking, I said, well, maybe that's God's will. I want y'all to know that when she got in trouble, I was the first one there. When she moved away and moved to Vegas, I cried like a baby. Because it was like having sibling rivalry. Because I knew that I needed something to keep me connected, always in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. That's why I do so much service work. I'm going to stay here and I'm going to work. And I'm going to work till I can't work no more. Because if you ever had to live like I lived, you stay home where it's safe. This is my safe haven. Just like when I came back from North Carolina and I moved back here to D.C., and I got entangled with my family. I was scared to death. Because, see, I had left them before and went to North Carolina and came back home. And that's where I relapsed at, right here with them. And I was like, I don't want it to happen again. Except for something happened while I was in North Carolina. I grew up. I went through so much, and I just wouldn't come home. I had people that wanted me to use, people that tried to make me use, people that was waiting for me to use. But you know, it's something about being in North Carolina where you ain't got no family, and you done made a family, right? You know they ain't gonna really step out there like blood, for real. You know what I'm saying? So I knew if I fail, wasn't nobody coming out in Rocky Mount, North Carolina, and get me. They wouldn't come to get me. So through those adversities, I knew when I came back home, I could stand. And by then, Narcotics Anonymous had gave me God. And I want y'all to know that has been the greatest thing that Narcotics Anonymous has also given me. It gave me freedom from active addiction, and it gave me a God of my true understanding. I ain't talking about all that stuff. I was raised in Catholic Church, and I ain't talking about all that. I'm talking about a God that when I've been at my lowest, and I didn't know which way I was going to turn, where I was going to eat, because at 10 years, I was homeless and getting ready to kill some people in recovery. Because I need to tell y'all, I didn't put the guns out of my hands until I was 10 years clean. I'm talking about 10 years clean, walking in a meeting, because I had some recovery houses, right, in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. And there were people moving the women out my house as fast as I could put them in there. People that were smiling in my face and stabbing me in my back. And all of a sudden, I'm going to tell you what happened when you ain't doing no writing. I wasn't doing a whole lot of writing because I had floated over and to church. And I'm telling y'all, I'm talking about preaching. I was preaching almost every Sunday. But I wasn't writing. And I was caught up in my recovery houses going downhill. See, I had 5 good years. The 6th year I was going down, I had just opened my 3rd. third recovery house. I was floating, right? And all of a sudden, it was starting to crumble. And people were in the meeting sharing and adding my name to it. And saying, let's see if the great I am will make it through this. I'm talking about what they were sharing to my face. And I'm talking about carrying my gun in my car, right? To the point that all of a sudden I started taking it in the meeting. And that on my 10th year, I wasn't going to pick up that key tag because I said, if somebody touched me, I'm going to kill him. I'm talking about coming up here to see my mother. Y'all might think I'm kidding. I'm telling y'all, I came home to tell my mother goodbye. Because I knew if I killed them, for real, in North Carolina, they were going to fry me. I'm talking about premeditated murder. But I was going to kill them because I was standing on principles. Y'all need to know sometimes you can get the principles kind of twisted around here. Because I want y'all to know I try to practice these principles in all of my affairs. But when I'm off balance, my principles will get twisted. I'm talking about walking up in that meeting after coming home. I'm talking about doing a wraparound. I went from North Carolina 4 hours to Maryland to tell my mother goodbye. Stopped at a meeting. Talked to a couple of old times. They said, Nellie, you know they're going to fry your ass down there. And I'm saying, yeah, right. And I go in there on a Sunday spiritual meeting. 6 o'clock in the evening. Because everybody up in there, and I knew all 6 of them would be there. With a jacket on in September. And I said, God, if they say my name, I'm going to kill them. I'm talking about being sick and ate up. 10 years clean. I want y'all to know they never said my name. God doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. I picked up my key tag, and one of the main ringleaders said, Nellie, well, you getting ready to do something to us? Because I'm telling you, they were sharing, and I started giggling over in the corner. I'm talking about giggling. Because I had a spiritual awakening, right? Not so much that. I said, I say this thing better, but I'd rather take somebody to detox than them taking me. I said, better them than me. Why would I kill them and somebody do me? For what? I'm going to keep showing up when they don't want me to come. And I kept coming. And I kept smiling. And I went back to writing. And I started talking to God and asking him, forgive me. Because I was starting to be ate up. Resentment is our worst enemy. I started doing me one more time. I gave up the sponsees. I had 14 sponsees. Crazy. Gave them up. One wouldn't leave me. I went back to writing. I stopped preaching a whole lot. And I got wrapped up back in Narcotics Anonymous. 7 years later, this is who I am. I don't get caught up in what y'all do no more. I don't get caught up in what y'all think about me no more. I ain't giving y'all all my business no how. Now I might give y'all what's going on with me. But my financial business is none of your business. I've learned one lesson. You don't give people your dreams. Because they can take your dreams and use them against you. Recovery has taught me to grow up And I'm going to continue to dream. I dream high. And I shoot high. I shoot real high. Y'all hear my husband over there saying, yes, I do? Yes, I do. But my dreams are not without hope. And not without reality. Because I'm not just a dreamer. Because I've learned to stand through the steps and the traditions of Narcotics Anonymous, I actually do the footwork to get better. I do the footwork not to use. I do the footwork in business. I do the footwork. I'm in school again. Because when I came home, they just blew me. I went back to school. Some people have told me, you'll never be what you're trying to be. I've said, if it take me 60 to be 60, I'm going to be a doctor. And I'm working on it. I ain't far from it. Y'all need to know that. Because there's somebody that's crazy like me that needs some help. Yeah. Without taking some drugs to help fix them. See, when they wanted to give me pills, I told them no, because my body don't understand the difference. And I'm not saying everybody do what I do. I'm telling y'all my body don't understand. Because when I was battling cancer, my body didn't understand that morphine was morphine. And it was trying to trap me one more time. So I told them, don't give me that. And I was mad with the doctor that gave me the shot of morphine. Because guess what? My body started acting a little funny. I said, give me the Tylenol, and I ain't talking about Tylenol 3. Give me some extra strength Tylenol, and let's keep it moving. I can suffer some pain. I can't do the withdrawal no more. I'd rather suffer the pain than do the withdrawal. Same thing with recovery. I'd rather go through what I got to go through here where I'm safe in my home than go back out there and beat the bricks. Recovery's good, y'all. It's the best home I know. I'm talking about right here in Narcotics Anonymous. It has allowed me to go back into my family. It has allowed me to be the mother that I always should have been, the daughter that I should have been from the start. And to also learn how to be a wife, y'all. Today I know I'm a wife. Yeah, I'm a wife. I ain't running. I'm sticking and staying in this one. Because I'm going to do the step work to keep me there. I'm going to do what it takes. I'm enjoying recovery. For the first time in my life, I can say, I am so free up in here. And I am happy. And I don't care what go on. Do what you do. I got a thorough 10th step. Do what you do. Because until you finish doing it, you ain't going to stop. Because I never stopped until I got sick and tired of me. Thanks for letting me share. Thank
you. I'm Jesse. I'm still at it. Let's thank Lord and Nileen for sharing.